Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie, and this is The Reason Podcast. Please subscribe to us at iTunes and rate and review us while you're there. Today, we're talking with Paul Dietrich. He's a video producer at Reason TV, and he's just back from covering the March on Washington by the Juggalos, who are fans of the Insane Clown Posse. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Whoop, whoop, Nick. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop, indeed. Well, tell us, as a starting point, before we get to the actual March on Washington and what why it was being done and what it hoped to accomplish, let's lay out some history here. Who are the Insane Clown Posse?
The Insane Clown Posse are a rap duo from like 25 years ago. They've been around for a really long time, but they are a horrorcore rap group from Detroit, and they're sort of this underground rap group that has never really hit the mainstream, but has gained a lot of popularity in just the last few years, ever since this gang classification happened in about 2011.
So, and I mean, it's Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, is that correct? Are the,
That's right.
The two main guys?
Yes.
And they wear clown makeup. I mean, and it's somewhat reminiscent of Kiss, I guess, back in the 70s up through the early 80s. But it's weird, kind of clown makeup, and they do rap, and you said it's horrorcore. Can you explain to people what horrorcore is?
Horrorcore music is something that they invented. Horrorcore music is like, it's like horror movies, but in music form. And so the lyrics are very, very violent lyrics. They're always talking about murdering people. But the trick of it is that if you really listen to the lyrics, they're murdering people that are like bigots and racists and that represent parts of society that they don't like.
And
the clown makeup comes from the fact that they come from very poor backgrounds, and they've always thought that people always thought of them as a joke. And so they decided to take that on and make it a part of their act. So everybody thinks of them as a joke. Okay, we'll wear clown makeup. We'll drink the cheapest soda out there. We're not going to drink Coca-Cola. We're not going to drink Dr. Pepper. We're going to drink Faygo, and we're going to spray it on the audience. And so that, yeah, it all worked into what their persona was. They just kept playing into that. And they targeted people just like them that grew up in poor white neighborhoods like that they grew up in, and it's
right.
Worked out for them.
I mean, they're kissing cousins to Eminem as white rappers from a poor part of Detroit, and of course they had at various points like all rap stars, whether you're rich, born rich or poor, white or black, you're going to get into a lot of feuds. They have an ongoing feud with Eminem and a bunch of other people. So then the Juggalos are their fans, and their symbol is the Hatchet Man. Why are they called Juggalos, and who is the Hatchet Man?
Well, they're called Juggalos because I think it was a song that came out in the 90s. It was sort of just like a throwaway lyric from a song during a concert that Violent J was, I think, singing at the time. So yeah, it's just a name. That's all it is. But and they
and the fans also dress up in or put on makeup and they represent their loyalty to the band by showing up wearing makeup and similar clothes, right?
Yes, I mean that's even an understatement. They show up in full clown makeup. They wear the Hatchet Man on them. The Hatchet Man looks like a cartoon little guy with a hatchet in his hand. And they show up. They have tattoos. I'd say a majority of them have these Hatchet Man tattoos, or have like Juggalo tattoos, maybe like across their chest or on their arm or something. They're very enthusiastic.
What do the fans love about the band so much? Because I mean, they have a fan following that is every bit as dedicated as kind of like Deadheads for the Grateful Dead, or Fish fans were, to name a couple of jam bands. What do the Juggalos love so much about the Insane Clown Posse?
Juggalos are Insane Clown Posse. Insane Clown Posse is Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope. They come from poor white backgrounds. These are people that, like, they the Juggalos, they're people that like work at Pizza Hut. They work at like gas stations, and they are one and the same. And so they are attracted to the music because ICP is targeting it to them. They're speaking to them. The jokes and the lyrics are like tailored to a group of people that are forgotten by society. Are sort of like, you know, when mainstream people walk down the street, they sort of look at them and then they turn the other way.
So the Juggalos are kind of like the forgotten men and women of America. Even, you know, Donald Trump supposedly won the presidency by appealing to people, you know, white working class people who had been forgotten. He wasn't even getting near where the Juggalos are. They're further down the kind of status pyramid.
They are way farther down than that. And it's interesting to point out, because when we talk about Juggalos, it's sort of, we try to understand it in the mainstream world by like giving out these like terms for like, I don't know, like mainstream terms for understanding it. Just like, well, are they like Trump voters? Well, where do they exist? Are they Democrats? Are they Republicans or anything? They're not really anything. They exist in this strange world on their own, where they have their own language, they have their own leaders, they have their own ways of talking to each other.
Yeah, and you had mentioned at the beginning, you said whoop whoop, and whoop whoop is kind of a general greeting.
It's like saying hello.
Greeting.
It's like, like saying hello to each other. It's like saying like, hey, how you doing? They also say things like, you staying fresh? Staying fresh is like, hey, are you doing well? Instead of saying friend, they'll say ninja. So they'll say like, how you doing, ninja? Oh, that's my ninja over there. That's my friend. Wicked clown love, which is just a way of saying like, I love that guy. I love these people.
So, is there any sense of like how many Juggalos there are?
It's funny. There's no census, and I hope that they ask this like as a census question in a few years. But there's no like real sense of like how many there are. But I mean, like thousands of Juggalos show up every year to the gathering of the Juggalos, whatever cities it in.
And that's an annual kind of like an annual camp out, you know, kind of a Woodstock every year for Insane Clown Posse fans.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But Juggalos exist everywhere. I thought it was just the Midwest for a while, but it's not. There's Juggalos in every city, in every part of America. They are these people that like sort of exist below the surface, and they may not talk about being a Juggalo publicly, but they may have a tattoo, or they may listen to the music, or they may have been to a concert in their day. They are the people that are pumping your gas. They are the people that are a part. They're a part of your life, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, and sometimes I've seen bumper stickers on cars that have the Hatchet Man, or I live part-time in Oxford, Ohio, which is near Cincinnati, and there was a car, Oxford is a college town, but there was a car that was spray-painted with stencils of the Hatchet Man in like black and green all over the car. And like most people, I was with a couple of people who had no idea what it was, and I was like, oh yeah, that's like an Insane Clown Posse thing, which is kind of fascinating that, you know, they walk and live and breed among us, and but we don't know that if we don't know where to look.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because that is what has gotten them in trouble, is like having the balls to like have the enthusiasm that they do to put a sticker on their car. That's gotten them pulled over by local law enforcement, local cops.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. In 2011, during the FBI, the Department of Justice puts out a national gang assessment or crime assessment that includes gang classifications. And in 2011, Juggalos were considered, or they were listed as, a hybrid gang. What does that mean, and how did they come to be on that? I mean, if they're music fans, we don't get mad if, you know, Jimmy Buffett's parrot heads, who probably caused more, you know, monetary damage in America driving home from Jimmy Buffett concerts than Juggalos. So, you know, what was it about the Juggalos that so scared law enforcement?
Well, there was, the FBI gets information from local police departments to put on this gang threat assessment report to report to everybody, report to law enforcement entities across the United States. And so police officers' departments started reporting these incidents with juggalos, like everything. I'm sure everything from like burglaries to like being drunk in public or just like someone just put
shoplifting, methamphetamine, drug sales.
Yeah, maybe drug possession. But they put two and two together and said, well, this looks like a gang. It smells like a gang. This must be a gang. And so the FBI reported it like so. And so it doesn't really mean that they're a gang. These are like poor, scrubby kids. And so like they're going to get themselves into trouble. They're going to do stuff like that. But it's not because they are fans of Insane Clown Posse, not because they're juggalos. It's just because that's what happens with poor people sometimes. Yeah, but we don't, you know, it's not, I mean, you mentioned parrot heads, but I think of like the Bayhive. Like think of this happened to Beyonce's fans or something. People would be like shocked. And I think people were shocked right away in 2011 when the gang threat assessment came out. They were like, you know, juggalos are sort of a punchline to pop culture. And so when the gang threat assessment came out, it was sort of like, really? Oh my gosh. It became like an internet joke for a while, and then the shit hit the fan. Like people started getting arrested.
So, and that's kind of like because it's I guess you were pointing to this that you know they have all of the kind of accoutrement of gang membership. They have a secret language. They have secret signs, tattoos, a kind of dress code. So people start getting arrested, you know, merely for, you know, driving while juggalo, I guess. And how did Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope take it? What was their response to this?
Right away, they thought it was pretty cool. They thought it was like, wow, we are so out there that like we're on the FBI's gang threat assessment. They didn't really see the end of that or the ramifications of that. So it took juggalos reporting to them that they were going through these horrible situations where they were being pulled over by the cops or they were losing custody of their children or losing their jobs over being a juggalo. It's sort of interesting when you get arrested for a crime, it's the sentence can be a lot harsher if you are if there's a gang association with it because people are district attorneys want to be tough on crime.
Right. So there's all kind of like enhancements that they can do to the sentence if you fall into this or that category of offender. Now the March on Washington. I mean, this has been a long time coming, but what was the aim of you know having a massive showing of juggalos in Washington D.C.?
Well, the point of it was it was sort of an answer to well, ICP has been for the last few years trying to fight this in court with the American Civil Liberties Union, and it hasn't worked out very well. The lawsuit has gotten thrown out of court a few times. They've appealed that and tried to get back into court, and it hasn't worked out. And so they were a little frustrated. So they decided that they wanted to tell everybody in Washington, tell everybody in the world that they were not okay with this gang threat assessment, this gang label. So they decided we'll do this in the most public way possible. We'll make a publicity stunt by marching on Washington. And they did. And there was like a little bit of apprehension from people that are no juggalos and maybe even internally from ICP about like, well, what will that look like? And we don't want juggalos being juggalos, if you will, on mm-hmm. the National Mall
right.
and like falling into the reflecting pool or something. But, you know, everything pretty much was very peaceful at the march. There were even juggalos going around and picking up trash.
Where were the, where did they march? And then was there a concert or there were a series of talks. You did a Reason TV video of this, which is up at our YouTube channel or Facebook page as well as at Reason.com. But, you know, what was the program? What, you know, because it's, you know, and I don't mean this in a douchey way. It's a civil rights march, right? It's, you know, we're saying, you know, the juggalos were saying, look, we're legitimate people here and we have every right to live how we want as long as we're not hurting other people. Were there speeches and what was being talked about from the dais?
Well, it was there were speeches that were made right in front of the Lincoln Memorial, right where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. And so there were speeches from juggalos talking about situations they've had with police, people that lost their jobs over being a juggalo. The speeches, the speech from ICP was particularly interesting because it was they talked about the gang classification and how it was horrible, but then they also made jokes about sewing up a guy's butthole. I mean, like it was like for juggalos and for the world to hear. It was one of the best representations of protected speech I think I've ever seen in my life. Then they did the march part where they marched down the reflecting pool around the National Monument or the Washington Monument, and then came back all the way to the Lincoln Memorial. And in the midst of all of this, there were concerts going on. But late, just around 9 o'clock or so, they had a concert from ICP where they, you know, they did everything that they would do at an ICP concert, which is a lot of unexpected things where they would spray the audience with Faygo. They took chicken feathers and threw them on the audience at one point. There are like dozens of clowns up on stage throwing confetti. It is – if you've ever gone to an ICP concert I'm going to assume that no one has gone to an ICP concert that listens to this podcast, but it's a spectacle. It is a big deal in a surprising way. Even Nathan Rabin, this writer who writes about juggalos a lot and has written two books on them, he's in our video talking about how there's always some sort of unexpected event. There's always some sort of spectacle to this. There's always some sort of bigger thing that happens. And you know, I mean, you could say that that is true of this march as well. That there was something in the air that made it not just another juggalo event, that made it very, very significant. And this is them sticking their flag in history.
Well, talk a bit about your video has been very warmly received, and it's been shared by a lot of different music sites and other other places online. What is the for people who aren't juggalos or aren't into that particular band's music? What's the interest? What's the appeal, do you think? And what's the libertarian message coming out of all of this?
I think the appeal of ICP is that they are, you know, they're a rap duo that is sort of an answer to gangster rap. They exist as a foil to gangster rap, even though they're fans of gangster rappers. They have like very violent lyrics, but it's all posturing. It's all like a character that they're playing on stage. There's a lot of violent lyrics, but there are also like a lot of like weird jokes in the lyrics that are, you know, the kind of jokes you would make if you were a 12-year-old kid or something. It's like this very disgusting humor, but is also kind of poppy and fun and is not meant
it,
to be.
It reminds me, some of the horrorcore stuff reminds me of, there was a subset of punk that was sometimes called psychobilly or shockabilly. The Cramps were probably the best known practitioners of it. But where it merged horror movies and kind of rotting corpses, zombies and violence with just a really kind of anarchic sense of comedy and fun.
Yeah.
It's like Abbott and Costello meet Frankenstein.
Yes, yes.
This isn't a David Fincher movie. This is Abbott and Costello meeting Frankenstein or Dracula or the Wolfman.
Yeah, exactly. It almost feels like a parody sometimes of the world, of the mainstream world, but not quite. They're pretty sincere about it.
Yeah, and it is, if I have one criticism beyond, and obviously, musical taste is to each his own, but in a weird way, for all of the kind of threat that they kind of menace or posture as, like their lyrics tend to be like almost like an after school special. It's like, hey, kids, stay in school. I suspect that their best known song might be Miracles, which has the incredible line in it where they're talking about there's all sorts of bad things in the world, but they see miracles every day. And then at one point they say, magnets, how do they fucking work?
Yeah.
Which is kind of great, you know, it's even guys who are like taking a deep breath and just in love with the world.
Even better was the signs at the Juggalo March that said, dragnets, how do they work?
So do you think tell us what was the mood like? Is it, you know, because rock concerts or concerts in general, they can get violent. They're from Altamont to various, Central Park free concerts in the 70s and 80s led to, massive kind of, just public riots and things like that. Was it a mellow mood? Was it fun? Was it scary for you at all?
The Juggalo March was not scary at all. It's never, it was like any other concert that one would go to, except that there was a sense of like, I think among Juggalos, like, let's not fuck this up. Let's not fuck this up at all. We are trying to get the world on our side and show the world that we're not threatening. We're just a lovable people that are just different. That's it. There were Juggalos like walking around picking up trash. There were Juggalos handing out free water and Faygo to people. I mean, like it felt a little like the Gathering of the Juggalos. That's what happens there. Like you can ask for a beer from somebody at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and they'll more than gladly give it to you. You can ask for anything.
In a way, I mean, do you think the Gathering of the Juggalos or the Juggalos March, it's almost more of a radical, is it more of a radical experiment in kind of self-organization than even something like Burning Man?
Yeah, I mean, with something maybe like Burning Man now, maybe Burning Man like 10 years ago or so was different, but Burning Man now is like all, like upper middle class white girls and with like with like thorn crowns and or flower crowns and drinking rosé. But like this is like, yeah, it's sort of an experiment in this like very, you can't even, I guess you could put the libertarian like label on it, but it also exists outside of that. It is its own thing that doesn't have like a mainstream label at all. I liken it to Juggalos and Juggalo culture to gay culture, in that they, at different times were demonized by society, by government. But
I'm sorry, what you liken it to? What kind of culture?
To gay culture. There's a whole language to Juggalo culture. There's a whole language to gay culture that exists on its own, and it happens because these groups of people turned inward and supported each other and created societies that worked for them. You could even say like drag queens are just like Juggalos. They create their own terrible music just like ICP that is an answer to the mainstream culture.
Right. And if it's not, it's not explicitly libertarian or dogmatically libertarian in the sense, the ICP isn't calling for the abolition of the post office or privatizing sidewalks or anything. But you can see how they use whatever tools, whatever resources are around them to create a world that they want to live in. And that's a pretty good definition of a libertarian impulse in a subculture. And they find meaning and community through that. What do they do next? What happens next for the ICP and for Juggalos?
Well, next is they're going back to court on October 11. They are going to the 6th District for oral arguments in there for trying to sue the FBI again. They are trying to at least go through the court system one more time to try to fix this. But it is a really hard thing to make that happen. You have to try to get a judge to understand Juggalos and understand their cause. That's a hard thing to do because they don't exist in the Juggalo world. Although I don't know, maybe there is a judge out there that would understand.
That would be pretty wild, wouldn't it? If they show up and the judge is wearing a Juggalo makeup.
Yeah, if the judge is wearing Juggalo makeup, or
you could see them like giving the thumbs up to each other. I think I got a good feeling about this.
I just hope that they see one of Reason TV's videos or something and have their hearts changed, or something nice happens because of this.
The videos you've done, and you did one a couple of years ago with Alex Manning reporting from the gathering of Juggalos after, and it was after the gang assessment had been published. But it was fascinating because it does show a real kind of voluntary society at work. And it was, it's kind of beautiful and kind of moving. And I think, that comes through in the March video as well. The big next big court date is October 11th.
Mm-hmm. That's the next big court date. They'll have another gathering of the Juggalos next summer sometime. Who knows where it'll be? They tend to get kicked out of a lot of states, a lot of like concert venues. So you might not even know until a few weeks before where it's going to be. But it'll happen. That's for sure.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Paul Dietrich, a Reason TV video producer who's been covering the Juggalos March on Washington, fans of the Insane Clown Posse who are protesting being assessed as a gang by the FBI. Paul, thanks so much for talking and for the work that you've done.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
This has been the Reason Podcast. I'm Nick Gillespie. Thanks so much for listening. Please subscribe to us at iTunes and rate and review us while you're there.